Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our sermon text for today is the gospel lesson appointed for this, the 13th Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from the 16th chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the 21st verse and reading on through till the 28th verse. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I pray your glory be revealed today in our hearts, and especially in our spirits. Lord, you've set your word for us here to bless us. And I pray that we shut out the world around us, that you help us to do that, and that you open our ears only to what it is that's going to be revealed. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, friends, just last week we heard about how Jesus praised Simon Peter for his confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," Jesus told him, "because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Contrast that statement with today's "Get behind me, Satan." These two lessons, if you look them up, they occur concurrently. That is to say, the one follows immediately after the other, being separated only by the words "from that time." First, Jesus asks his disciples who the people say that he was. And then he says, "Who do you yourselves say that I am?" And then from that time, immediately, Jesus begins to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer and die upon the cross and on the third day rise again. May it never be. You are the Christ. May it never be. What a great contrast. On the one hand, Simon Peter was speaking in the fullness of faith that was given to him by God. And then on the other, in the fullness of his flesh, which was hopelessly mired in himself. Well, Peter had good intentions, we have to say, no doubt. He wanted to keep his Lord alive because he thought that the messianic promise was about to be fulfilled in the life of Christ. When the word death entered into the equation, well, Peter reacted the same way any of us would, trying to prevent Jesus from continuing on to the cross. The intent was good, but the intent aligned with Satan's purposes and not God's. And there's a lesson here for us all right out of the gate when we look at this text. We as humans, even in our best days, with our best intent, are fallible. We make mistakes. We might say abortion's good, thinking it might relieve a pregnant teen from the burden of the responsibility of raising a child or terminate a pregnancy of a woman that's been raped. But in condoning abortion in these cases, these so-called acts of kindness and compassion set these expectant mothers up to bear the full weight of the burden of responsibility of God's holy writ, which says, you shall not murder. We might say euthanasia is good, thinking that it relieves a body of the pain of dying, but that's not Christ talking. That's us speaking from the flesh in fear of the pain or the slowness of death that's coming upon us. That's not Christ talking. Our Lord says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy 5:16. That father and mother in this commandment include all those who are in authority over us. And yet, as we see in the world today, many Christians malign that authority. Many speak against the likes of a Trump or a Trudeau or a Ford that are in power over us. But God put these men and their governments in those positions of authority, just as he put Pontius Pilate in authority over Christ. Do we think that somehow we, even on our best day, know more than God? And what of the cross? Scripture clearly tells us that Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing, for it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. How many times have we in our good intentions said, God, I don't want to see that scene? Because our sinfulness makes us look upon that cross and see exactly what Peter didn't wish to see. The Christ who should be in his glory, hanging again from the cross. Are we speaking from the flesh or are we speaking from the spirit when we say these things? Are we acting on Satan's behalf or on God's? Do we hear, blessed are you, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, for what we're thinking or saying or doing? Or are we hearing, get behind me, Satan? If we're honest with ourselves, we'll readily admit that we hear God speaking both of these things daily to us. Because we're both owned by Christ and therefore blessed by the presence of the Spirit and born of the flesh and therefore inherently sinful descendants of Adam. The Apostle Paul nails it on the head when he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. Romans 7:18. He calls it like it is when he says, wretched man that I am, and cries out, who will set me free from this body of death? But while he grieves his sorry condition as a sinner, Paul exalts God for his response to sin. Who will set me free from this body of death? He responds, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 7:24 and 25. Thanks be to God. He's blessed us in a very special way. He's blessed us to carry Christ's cross. God's blessed us by giving us over into his grace. Gone are the false doctrines that demand we work to prove our faithfulness. Gone is the false doctrine that leads us to believe that we have to jump over every hurdle that Satan throws up between us and God. Gone is the false doctrine of sweating and toiling before God because there's no longer any condemnation for us from the one who satisfied our debt. The cross, instead of being a burden to bear, has become our trustworthy place of repentance. Where false doctrines say work, true doctrine says, true doctrine lays the claim to repentance. Just listen to this. I, a poor, miserable sinner, stand before you, unable to resolve my brokenness. That's what we can say before God because of the cross. I who have no ability to save myself, throw myself upon your mercy. I who have no other way of being called your beloved child, plead your forgiveness by the blood of your Son, who is my Savior. Behold, then, everything that has encumbered us in the flesh and weighed us down in our souls has been lifted off our backs and placed squarely on the back of our Lord in the most unfair exchange imaginable. He took the sins of the world upon himself and gave us the cross and gave us his righteousness in return. Behold, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands, says our Lord God, as he lays claim to us on the cross. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, your victorious Lamb has indelibly recorded your names in his book of life, in his very own blood. So the cross we bear is freeing. It sets our souls free to all eternity. But it's also freeing to our flesh. Peter was concerned over the flesh, may it never be, was his attempt to steer Jesus away from destruction. And yes, as the Apostle Paul so aptly exclaimed in 2 Corinthians 4:8-10, our relationship with the cross puts us in a precarious position. On the one hand, we're redeemed. On the other, we're endangered. Our relationship with Christ and his cross causes us to be afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down on this side of eternity. If it's not Satan seeking to crush us, then it's the world, our colleagues at work, our classmates, our friends, and even sometimes members of our own families. But again, there the Apostle Paul says in those very same verses, 2 Corinthians 4:8-10, because of the cross, we're not crushed, nor are we despairing, nor are we forsaken, nor are we destroyed. None of these things that the world can throw on us will ever defeat us, because the crosses that we bear carry the name of the one who didn't just die for our sake, but who rose again and ascended into heaven. They bear the name of the one who is seated at the right hand of God, and who assures us that even if we suffer the greatest persecution, yet not a single hair of our heads will perish. Luke 21:18. The strength of his cross, then, doesn't just extend over us. It acts as a giant beam over our heads, a beam that can bear the weight of all evil and safeguard us to eternity. So the cross is therefore a blessing to us and not a burden. That's why Peter and John rejoiced in the persecution and Paul in his. They counted themselves as blessed to be associated with the cross of Jesus Christ, and they pointed to it shamelessly and repeatedly as their strength and their salvation to the glory of God and to the shame of God's enemies. Because the cross is so light in our hands and it offers us such protection, we carry it lightly. But that same cross that we carry lightly is the cross that will crush those opposed to God. We know that day will come. We know that day will come where Christ comes and returns to us, judging the earth. Our righteousness will be proven by the one who accomplished our salvation upon that cross. It'll be proven because we trusted to bear that cross, and we will be saved to the glory of our Lord. May there be more people like that, though. May there be more, because the cross that we bear is in no way an idol cross. Jumping to our sermon text again, just for a minute here, we remember that Jesus was telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to die there and rise again on the third day. He was preparing them to have the truth that lay ahead, namely that the Christ's purpose was not to gather for himself a temporal, earthly kingdom, but to offer all of humanity his one true eternal kingdom, which is in heaven. He was speaking plainly to them to prepare them and to prepare others to bear the cross to the world and do that as a proclamation. The cross that they bear is the same cross that we bear. It seeks the lost and the erring. It speaks to those who are suffering pain and loss. It lifts up the lowly. It claims refuge for those who are anxious. It binds the wounds of the afflicted. It restores the soul. And that, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's all in your hands. That cross is accompanied by God himself. His Spirit goes out from you as you carry out this great mission of the church, each one of you as you share your faith in Christ. And consider the strength of what that then means. You may be feeble. You may feel unprepared to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may even be fearful to open your mouths. But God, whose Spirit dwells within you because of the cross, He has no limitations. When people hear you, they're hearing a godly man, woman, or child speaking. When they watch you, they see God in action. They see God's people in action as well. You may not agree with the politicians that are before you, but if you speak well of them, of the offices that they're in, and you tell someone that they should join you in prayer because they have a massive responsibility to their constituents, you reveal that higher authority of God to those around you. And when you explain that God values life, which includes the unborn, the ill, and the aged, the words that you share say that those people that you speak to, even those who are debating with you, are valued before God. They might not understand the fullness of what it is that you're saying because of their physicality. But they will hear in all sincerity that their lives matter before God. When you confess Christ, when you confess the cross, you're confessing the one into whose hands all life has been placed, here, now, on this earth, and to all eternity. All the while you're pointing to the cross. The cross then blesses each one of us. It blesses us in the forgiveness of sins. It blesses us in safeguarding our souls from the attacks of the enemy. And it blesses us in this great and holy ministry where we see what it is that God has accomplished for us by the cross. It moves us from seeing through the eyes of the flesh to seeing through the eyes of faith that God gives. It moves us from "get behind me, Satan," to "stand right here beside me and watch my name be glorified." The flesh of its own accord cannot accomplish any of these things or even comprehend them. But each one of these things has been revealed to you by God. And therefore, by the cross, you're blessed to all eternity. Your key verse for this week is Psalm 26:12. "My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord." You can look up this verse. You can look up this verse on our website. It's there for you, printed in your bulletins. It's there for you as well on a home screen that you can download. It's my prayer that this word is a blessing to you today and always. I pray that God helps you know that His cross is all you need. I pray that God helps you to know this, that you know that the one who hung upon it will always be with you and never fail you. To the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we fail many times because we think of the earthly things. We don't see the cross before us. We don't lift it up high and say, "Because you've died on this cross, you've given us strength." We don't say, because you've died on this cross. We rely fully upon the salvation, and we don't fear death. There are so many times where we stand in opposition to you, and yet you stand before us and bless us. We ask, dear God, that you help us to always remember those blessings. And yes, Lord God, every time we fail to hold up that cross, we ask that you put it in our hands yet again. Put it over our hearts, that we confess that we are redeemed. In Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. I pray there's decent audio on that.